We are going to continue our series within a series this morning. And the first part of the series is biblical solutions to the five problems that are common to man. The first thing all of us have to deal with in life is money. It takes money to do anything. There's been a lot of people that started out in ministry, all fired up, all ready to go, and found out that it took money to keep going. Amen. And so a lot of times ministers will fall because they'll compromise because of money. Thank God we've never had to compromise because of money. Amen. The need's always been met. We're grateful to the Lord for that. Second thing we all got to deal with is fear. I said last week, if you don't know the Lord, you ought to be afraid. If you do know the Lord, you shouldn't be afraid, because he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of time. Even if they tell you there's aliens, right? Even if they tell you that war's breaking out. Third thing we all got to deal with are relationships. What's three things married couples have to agree on if they're going to have a happy home? What's three things you got to agree on? You know, I like it how we do that. We'll shout real loud, money,
sex.
Money,
sex.
Household responsibilities. Amen. Wouldn't be right. Teresa works more than I do most of the year. Not all, but 2 months out of the year, we're right on. I'm working harder than she does. But most of the time, she has a schedule, a fixed schedule. She doesn't get home till 5 o'clock. It wouldn't be right for me to sit there and wait for her to come fix supper. Besides that, if I sit there and waited for her to come fix supper, I'd be waiting a long time and I'd be a lot skinnier. Can I get an amen? I see Lucy nodded her head. Amen. Amen. So I do a lot of the cooking around my house, and I'm going to quit cooking. All right, number four, health, and we're going to talk about that. And the fifth thing we all have to deal with, unless we're the generation that's going to experience the rapture, all of us have to deal with death. But Philippians tells us to depart and be with Christ is far better. But then Jesus said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So you can see that all this stuff has a balance to it. And I think one of the things that happens to all of us in the body of Christ, we get out of balance one direction to the other, right? You know, and that's kind of how it works in society. You're better off if you can stay down the middle of the road, unless a car's coming. All right? We started a series within a series talking about health, and this is going to be our go-to verse. And the Lord said something through me that I'm going to repeat this morning. It's Matthew 4:23. And then I want to tell you something about the Lord. And if you are inclined to preach and teach, I want to tell you some good news. It's okay to repeat yourself. Jerry, did you know that? It's okay to repeat yourself. I never will forget. I always think of my mama about this one illustration. In her latter days, she got back in touch with the Lord and loved the Lord. And she listened to my sermons. She was my first person to listen. And she'd always compliment me. Boy, she ticked my brother off bad on her deathbed when she told him that I was a much better preacher than he was. That's a true story. Oh, I know that. I know that bugged him, because, you know, I don't know. What is it about siblings that we have to always be competitive? Anna and Jordan, they go to a restaurant and one of them gets mad at the other if they order the same thing. What difference does it make? That's only her. No, it's you too, Mose. Amen. And she waits to see what he orders before she'll order. She said, Smitty, I want you to know something. She says, Mark's the preacher in the family. Ooh, I thought, praise God. And I thought, Mama, you told him right. Amen. But anyway, the reason I brought that up is I'll never forget one time she called me. She'd always call me after sermon. She'd say, Mark, she said, that sermon you preached this week was the same one you preached last week. And I said, Mama, let me ask you a question. How many times have you had T-bone steak? She said, quite a bit. I said, you ever going to have it more than once? Anyway, I'm going to show you something from this verse that will free preachers up if they get condemned by the devil, because the devil makes you think you got to come up with something new every Sunday. We did the math. Do it one more time. 27 years times 47. 1,269 times in general, I've given a sermon for 27 years, Jerry. And I will not apologize if ever so often I've repeated myself for a couple reasons. Number one, I need to repeat it for myself. And number two, you need to hear it more than once. Can I get an amen? So here's our go-to verse. And Jesus went about all Galilee. I'm using this because the Lord spoke this through me, and I want to use it. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, what I said last week was that the revival church, because there is a revival in the body of Christ going on in the body of Christ, it's among people that are teaching and preaching. They're teaching the gospel, and they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And there's a revival. You can't say there's not a revival when a church in Fort Worth, Texas has 100,000 people going on Sunday morning. That's revival. This church we're going to go to in Phoenix, they've got 5 campuses, and they estimate what they got, 20,000. And what they're doing, they're teaching. Oh, and they're good teachers. They never say amen or nothing. They just keep talking. They teach, they preach, and they really and truly believe in water baptism. Amen. They're big on water baptism. I'm not that big on water baptism. I believe your heart ought to change. So they're teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And what they did is they put a period there. But the Bible don't have a period there. What's it got there? What's it got there? Comma. So Jesus taught, Jesus preached, but it says, and he healed all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Can I get an amen? Amen. Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Does he change? Did he all of a sudden get up to heaven and change his mind about the people on the earth? Does he still want people taught? Does he still want people preached? Does he still want people healed? Who's going to do it? That's almost like a good cheer. Who's going to do it? If Buena can't do it, who can't? Who's going to do it? We are the body of Christ. We have not promoted that to the degree that we should. And that's the reason why we haven't been as attractive to the world as we should be. Now, there's always going to be people that don't like us. But common people should want to come to church to get healed, to have their needs met. Amen. And to get acquainted with Jesus. Now, here's what's fascinating. This is Matthew 23. Let's go ahead and read verse 24. Let's read that. Let's read verse 24. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought to him, here it is again. And they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments. People are tormented. Amen? They're tormented. And those who were, I love the list here. I mean, I don't love the list because of what it is. I love the list because it tells you that we have this same problem right now on August the 20th, 2023, in the United States of America. And those who were, they brought various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and what did he do? Sent them to the doctor. Again, are we opposed to the doctor? No, if a doctor can fix your broken ankle, should you go to him and get it fixed? Unless you want to stay up all night crying and screaming and bawling. We're not against medical science, but some point in your life, medical science won't have the answers. And the thing I promote the most about medical science is I want them to fix me with stuff they know how to fix. The most dangerous words you can ever hear a doctor say is, we'll try this. No, no, no. What do you mean you'll try it? I want you to know it works. So there is a place for medical science, no doubt about it. There is a place for that. And there's been great advances in the area of medical science. But you got to understand that Jesus didn't heal these people medically. He healed them supernaturally and spiritually by the power of God. And the same Jesus is in the church today that was in the church in the book of Acts. Can I get an amen? Somebody said, well, why don't we see the manifestations? It's real simple. Go back to Matthew 23. It's real simple. It's real simple, really. Again, it is. Because the part that we've held on to is the teaching part and the preaching part. Now, how many is happy for the teaching and the preaching part? These 100,000 people that's in Fort Worth, and these 25,000 and 100,000 that's in Phoenix and these big cities, I'm grateful that they're finding out about the good news of Jesus Christ. They're converting, and I don't want to have to say names, but there are people that are involved in large organizations that call themselves Christians that don't really teach about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They don't teach you that you can't get saved by works or by sacraments or by confession or by baptism. You're saved by grace through faith. And people are going to these churches and finding out the good news. And they're dunking them in water. Great. And there's something wrong with your spirit if you're not happy about that. But there is something in my spirit that motivates me to tell people there's more to it than that. There's not only teaching and preaching, there's healing and deliverance. The reason why we don't see the manifestation, Romans 10:17. Let me show you this real quick. Real simple truth here. Say this with me, everybody. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Say it with me again. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Don't forget this. Now go to Matthew 4:23, and you'll see the reason why we have faith for salvation. Listen to me. Talked about it last week. It'll bear repetition. Mama, if you're listening in heaven, I'm re-preaching it. It'll bear repetition. The reason why we have faith for salvation is because we're hearing the salvation message. Say it with me, Jerry. Amen. The reason why we have faith to be saved is because, thank God, salvation's still being taught in some churches and a lot of churches in the world today, and people are being saved. The reason we're not seeing healing manifested is because we're not preaching and teaching healing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The reason why people have shied away from it, the reason why ministers shy away from it, it's real easy. It's because of the illustration we used last week. I want you to remember this. The illustration we used last week was Teresa came up and got saved. Remember that? Did we question her salvation? No, why? Why didn't we question it? We can't see it. We don't know. But we trust that she got saved because she did what the Bible said. Donnie came up with his bad leg. Thank God, I'm glad to see he's better tonight. Isn't that wonderful? He's healed. He's hopping down and jumping down for him. He came up with a bad leg. I prayed for him, but he went back to the chair hobbling. So what did most people think in their head? He wasn't healed, but he was healed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You keep speaking to the mountain. You keep speaking to the mountain in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's why. And that's why one of the missions of this church is to teach healing, to minister healing. And that's why the Lord told me when he gave me this instruction in this series that if you know somebody that's sick, bring them. You know what's fascinating to me is there's a dear lady that comes here. She'll come here about every 6 months. I've had conversations with her. And she's in pain. She's got something wrong with her, and she's constantly in pain. And she'll come back. I haven't seen her for a while. Maybe I won't see her again. But she'll come back periodically. And she'll come up to me and she'll say, I'm back. And I'll say, yeah, I'm glad you are. And she says, you know why I'm back? And I said, no, I don't know. I mean, I guess. You tell me. Why are you back? She says, because you're the only one in this town that really believes in healing. And I'm thinking, then stay. Don't go. What are you leaving for? You see what I'm saying? She says that to me. She says, you're the only one that really believes that God wants me healed. And I said, I really do believe it. And I've ministered to her. I've done everything I know to do. I've done every gymnastic routine you can do. I've flipped and balled and squalled. But I know when I look her dead in the eyeball, something on the inside of her has not decided that God healed her. See, if I look most people dead in the eyeball about salvation, I know that they have made a decision that, yes, Jesus died for me. But you got to believe that he also bore those stripes for you, that by his stripes you were healed. I mean, it's fascinating. So anyway, if you're sick, I'd go to a church that believes in health. Amen? All right, so here it is. Here's the good news. Matthew says this in Matthew 4:23. Mama, if you're listening, I'm going to show you something amazing. Look what Matthew says in 9:35. Look what he says in Matthew 9:35. My gosh, Matthew, how dare you? How dare you, Matthew? You repeated the same thing you said in Matthew 4. Well, you're not speaking under the inspiration of God. You said that last week. You know what it was inspired in Matthew 4:23? Is just as inspired as Matthew 9:35. Wonder why Matthew repeated the same verbiage. Wonder why he said the same thing. You think it was because he knew that Jesus was going to fulfill his ministry, die for our sins, sit at God's right hand to make intercession for us, and then he knew that it was our mission to do the same thing Jesus did? Are you listening to me? You see, Jesus gave illustrations about the fact that once a servant knows as much as what his teacher teaches him, he's going to be on the same level as his teacher. He told us, the same works that I do, you will do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. I could really just stop right there and teach that verse, because the greater work that we're doing that he didn't do is we're actually getting people like Teresa saved last week. She was saved before that, but I'm using it. See, he couldn't get anybody saved in his earthly ministry because he hadn't died yet. And you can't get saved unless you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. So that's the greater work that we're going to do. But the same work we ought to do is what he did, which was teach, preach, and heal. Say it with me. Teach, preach, and heal. And how do I get faith for all these things? By hearing it. So if you're sick, what do you need to pay attention to? Healing scriptures. Amen. Praise the Lord. So look at that. Matthew 9:35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Same verse. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Same exact verbiage. Do you know Jesus preached the same things on the Sermon on the Mount twice? Did you know that? Do you know that Matthew records what he said on the Sermon on the Mount as the sermon that he preached on the mountain? And Luke records the same kind of verbiage as what he preached on the level playing field on the plains? Jesus repeated himself. You know why you got to repeat yourself? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know why you got to repeat yourself? Because doubt comes by hearing, and by not hearing the Word of God. But then Matthew adds some detail to it. He adds some detail. So he is inspired by God. You see that verse? Same verse, 4:23, 9:35. Then look what he says in verse 36. Look what it says in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he couldn't care less. Is that what it says? But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Say that with me, everybody. He was moved with compassion for them. Now watch this. This truth I'm going to share with you is a central truth that everybody's got to get a hold of. Ministers get mad at me about this, but you got to get out of the prayer closet. It's all right to go in there, but don't stay in there. You got to get out of the prayer closet, and you got to get going on what he's going to tell you here in just a minute. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Boy, isn't that a picture of the world today? We're just lost, aren't we? Aren't we just lost? I was driving home the other day. I was going down Coronado, and there were homeless people on both sides of the street. There were people that were walking that they didn't have any joy on their face. I could tell one lady was probably on her way to some job that, you know, is not fun to probably go to. Nothing's changed, has it? Are we the same way? Now look at what the solution is. Look at what the solution is. And this gets people so mad because they don't understand the laws of God. They don't understand it. Verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful." Say it with me. "But the laborers are few." Prayer has its place. Prayer is very important. Individual prayer time is vital to maintaining a solid Christian life. But that won't get the job done. You can't pray people into heaven. You can't pray people into salvation. And you can't pray people into healing. You have to go to them and tell them the good news. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the solution is, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Verse 38. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I'm going to keep the theme going. I want you to see it. We're obeying it on some level. The revival that's in the earth, the grace revival that's in the world. It's in the world. There's multitudes of people being saved. We've maintained it. We went out to the harvest field and we preached grace. We preached salvation. But it's also our job to go out to the harvest field and preach the healing power of Almighty God. And woe be tied to the churches that are teaching their people that God made you sick. That God's teaching you something by your sickness and disease. Sickness and disease is not from heaven. Jesus didn't come down from heaven with sickness and disease. He came down with healing, with compassion, with the manifestation of the power of God. Are you listening to me? And if you're a minister and you heard me say this morning, don't get mad about it. Just change your message. God doesn't get glory in sickness and disease. God gets glory when the paralytic picks up his mat, puts that mat up under his arm, and walks out of there healed. Can I get an amen? Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, watch this. So Matthew, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, puts chapter 10 right after chapter 9. Isn't that smart? Huh? Look what he says in Matthew 10:1. He prayed that prayer. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, listen to this, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. Listen to this. Wait a minute now. This sounds like Matthew 4:23 and Matthew 9:35, doesn't it, Jan? Doesn't it sound just like that? He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now hang on a minute. I'm going to tell you what the doubt-peddling devil brought into this verse to quench the spirit and to quench faith. But I'll show you. I'm going to disprove it in a minute. So notice what it says in verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Send out laborers into the harvest field. What are we supposed to be telling people in the fields? What are we supposed to be telling them? We're supposed to be teaching them. We're supposed to be preaching to them. And we're supposed to be healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And again, the reason why we've surrendered that part of the contract is because we're walking by what we see instead of by walking by what the Word of God says. Andrew Womack has a statement that he makes, and most people will not understand it. And most people will think that he's being mean and ornery. But if you ever have a chance to go to a gospel truth seminar, he comes every January to Phoenix. Now, I quit going up there primarily because I've already read every one of his books. Kind of know what their format is, but if you ever go to one of his gospel truth seminars, you'll find out that he's not like some of these other famous ministers who don't come out and preach and teach until everybody's seated and they don't have to deal with people. Andrew will come out and minister to people for at least an hour one-on-one. And there's people that will wait in line to get to see him, and he tells them the truth. So the reason why I said all that to tell you is that a person that doesn't have compassion wouldn't come out and minister to people if he didn't care about them. And he's one of the few people, one of the few famous TV people I've ever seen come out and do that. But here's what he says that people don't understand if you don't follow what we're talking about. If he has a prayer line for people to be healed, and somebody gets in that prayer line and he lays hands on them, and when he prays for them, they drop over and fall down dead. You know what he says? Next. See, because you can't invalidate the Word of God by people's circumstances. Just like you don't invalidate the Word of God by people's circumstances relative to salvation. Everybody that says a sinner's prayer and been baptized in water don't act saved. Can I get an amen? Somebody said, hey, you know that because I be one of them. I'm talking about 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, I don't act saved. But I'm not going to invalidate my salvation and take back the Word of God primarily because I don't want to go to hell. Amen. You know what I'm saying? We look at people's circumstances. Again, you got to study the paralytic. You got to study that story. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, pick up your mat and walk? Which is easier to do? Lead people in a sinner's prayer, or to have a row of sick people in wheelchairs with oxygen masks and all kinds of paraphernalia attached to them, and to lay hands on them, and then people in the congregation not see any tangible results? What's easier to say? Get them up there and get them saved. And that's what this revival churches have done. They've decided at least we can get people into heaven, and thank God for that. But there's still a necessary component to the gospel whereby you got to meet people's physical, mental, and emotional needs. And the cross of Jesus Christ did all that. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ brought the victory for all of it. The cross paid for all of it, but the resurrection brought the victory for it. See, you got to leave the cross. You got to go to the cross. See, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever looks on that cross will be saved. But once you see the cross, then you got to go over to the tomb and come out of that grave and announce to the world, I'm saved, I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm blessed. Because Jesus was made a curse for me, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through faith. Amen? See, so he told him, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received and freely give. So again, here's Jesus preaching, teaching, healing. Says that the answer is to pray for the harvest and to pray for laborers into the harvest field. The next chapter, he announces that he assigns people to the harvest field. He gives them the exact same assignment. Everybody say amen. So, of course, the devil knows the Bible. How many of you know the devil knows the Bible? He quoted scripture to Jesus in the temptation. So he said, well, I got to counter this because people's going to read this. God's going to have Matthew written down and people's going to read this. And I got to counter this. So he came up with this. Here's what he came up with. All these things passed away with the apostles. How many has ever heard that? I actually had a minister in my office tell me that out of his mouth. I've been doing his taxes for years and years and years. And his wife was sick with cancer, and I asked him about healing. And he said, oh, we prayed. It wasn't God's will to heal her because she's still sick. Think about that. Now, that's the logical thought process. He said, we prayed. It wasn't God's will to heal her because she's still sick. So when Teresa came up last week for salvation, we said, well, sorry, Charlie. Only the best tasting tuna get to be star kissed. Sorry, you don't qualify. No. We prayed. I saw you the other night. You and I saved. No, you can't base anything on circumstances. If you're going to base anything on circumstances, you'll never walk in the things of God. That's what Andrew Womack meant by next. I'm going to the next person. There's multitudes of reasons why some things don't manifest. You can't discover all that in a 50-minute Bible lesson. You can't sometimes discover it in 50 years of living. But it's never God. It's never God. It's always God's will to heal you. Say that. It's always God's will to heal me. Just like it's always God's will to save. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. So they said, well, this all passed away with the apostles. So the Lord said, you know what I better do? I better have another gospel writer write about this. And I better add something to it. See, that's why there's four of them. So a great physician called Luke wrote his gospel. And look what he says in Luke 10:1. After these, now first see, so Jesus sends out his 12. By the way, we've over-glorified that anyway. That 12 was his inner circle. That's what that was. That was the people that were with him. That were the people that was in his ministry. Now, they have a place in Scripture, and they have a place of prestige relative to the fact that they're the 12 original apostles. One of them turned out to be a traitor and a betrayer. The other one was a denier. Woo! Man, I want to be in that group. I mean, what I'm saying is, don't overinflate them, and yet honor what they did, because the Bible says they left everything to follow Jesus for 3.5 years, and then after that, almost all of them were martyred for the cross of Jesus and for the cause of the gospel. But in this setting, they were just his assistants, if you will, and he sends them out to do the same things he did. So that argument that it all passed away with the apostles is a misunderstanding of praying the Lord of the harvest. See, the Lord didn't say, pray the Lord of the harvest to raise up more apostles. He said, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers. So Luke goes ahead and says, look, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others. And you know what's fascinating? He don't even tell you none of their names. They don't even get any name recognition in the Bible. You're going to be in heaven one day, and you're going to get to meet one of these 70. They're going to say, hey, Mark, how are you? I'm one of the 70. My name was, doesn't matter. Don't guess it mattered. God didn't even want to give him my name. Why do you think God put this in here? Because he knew somebody'd come along and say it was just the 12. Well, now you got to make it 82. And then before long, you got to make it 96. And before long, you got to make it whoever will believe what I say and do, I'll honor. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Now, here's what's fascinating. Here's what's fascinating. Remember that when he gave the message in Matthew 9:35, he talked about the harvest being plentiful, but the laborers being few, and then he sent out the 12. Look what he tells the 70, verse 2. Look what he tells the 70. Then he said to them, told them the same thing. What do you think he's telling us? What do you think he's telling us? Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are. Has that always been the problem? You know what the number one problem right now in society is right now is finding good help. Do you know restaurants are having a hard time staying open because they can't find anybody to work? So if you know what's going on in the natural world, can you imagine how it's going on in the spiritual world? Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Not just the 12, but now we have 70. 70 unnamed people. And the reason why they're unnamed is Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is declaring to you that it's not a prestigious thing that's only for the few. It's for whoever will do and act on God's Word. Y'all see that? Hope you do. Look at the next verse. What's their instructions? What was their instruction? And heal the sick there. Say it again. And heal the sick there. I like this verbiage because it tells you something else. and say to them, who's doing this? The 12? Are the 12 doing this? No, the 70. The 70 are doing it. 70 unnamed people that are willing to go out and do what God called them to do and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. What's a characteristic of the kingdom of God? Healing the sick. One of the things Jesus said before he died, when the Pharisees were coming and attacking him, and he was begging them to believe in him, he said he had a threefold witness. He had a threefold witness. God the Father witnessed to him. John the Baptist witnessed about him. And he didn't put a whole lot of emphasis on John the Baptist's witness, although it was valid. But he said, the Father witnesses to me. John the Baptist witnessed to me. And then he said, the miracles and the works that I do witness to me. Amen. That's why I'm telling you. That's why we can't allow the devil to win by taking healing and the message of healing out of the body of Christ. It's part of the gospel. It's part of the good news. It's part of the kingdom of God. Freely you have received, freely give. And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Then the unnamed 70 that don't even get their name written down. But who are they? They're laborers. Who are we? Laborers. Somebody said, I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. I work for him. Then you are to teach the gospel. If you're listening by radio or internet and you're on your way to church and you be a Bible teacher or you be a Sunday school teacher or you be a preacher, you are to teach the Bible, you are to preach the gospel, and you are to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Somebody said, oh man, what if nothing happens? Praise the Lord. What if something does? Amen. What if something does? Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Say that with me, everybody. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. That's important. I'm glad we got there. Notice we're not doing it in our name. We're doing it in his name. We're doing it in the name that's above every name. We're doing it as a representative and as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says in the next verse. And there's some debate on this. And I go back and forth on this. But anyway, I go back and forth on this. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, did he mean he saw him fall like lightning from heaven then? Or does he mean he saw Satan fall like lightning when he fell out of heaven at the beginning of creation? Either way, here's what I know. He fell out of heaven. Can you get an amen? He fell out of heaven. And you know what made him mad as fire? When the healing manifestation of God was demonstrated to the people. Heal the sick there. Raise the dead. Cast out lepers. Let's put Matthew 10:8 up. And let's stand up. I've said all I want to say. I would like to do something, though, if the opportunity presents itself. Put Matthew 10:8 up and we'll stand up. Let's say this. Now, any good teacher, you know what we got time for today? I really have time for, but I made time today. I got time to review. Who is Jesus telling to heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils? Who's he telling that to? See, I knew you'd get it. Who's he saying that to? How many of you like that word laborer? Who's the audience here? Laborers. Is it just for the 12 apostles? No, is it for anybody that'll obey the call of God and do what the Word of God says? And what are we to do? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Now, somebody said, why has this been such a challenge? Speaking strictly for myself, I'll tell you why I have such a problem with it, is how many people in this room, I'm going to demonstrate this, how many people in this room, if I ask you point blank, are you a Christian? Have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? How many of you can raise your hand up and say, yeah, I have? See, I look out here and that's everybody in the building. Here's one of the mistakes that I make, and it's amazing how easy I make this mistake when somebody... So if I gave an altar call this morning for anybody that's got symptoms in their body, first of all, is that anybody out there that has something that they want prayer for as far as healing? Right there, come on up. I'm going to use you for... I'm going to get you healed, and I'm going to use it for demonstrative purposes. Here's what happens to me, and it's uncanny how quick I do this. So Leslie's come up here, and she has announced to us that she believes that Jesus is her Lord and Savior, and I know that to be true. Amen? So you know how I'm supposed to really minister to her? So you've got symptoms in your body? I'm supposed to minister to her the exact same way I would minister to somebody that's born again. And I just simply need to say to you, let's put 1 Peter 2:24 up. Actually, let's put Matthew 10:17 up first, because we're in Matthew. Put that up first. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by us, and then have 1 Peter 2:24 ready. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Who's that talking about? Jesus. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Say that. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. The mistake I want to make is when I get a child of God up here wanting to be wanting to be ministered to be made well, I will go to God and ask God to heal her. That is wrong. God's already healed her. Just like I didn't go to God and ask God to personally, specifically save Teresa. He's already saved her. She just has to receive it. But it's uncanny, Al, and I'm saying this because we're ministers. It's uncanny when I get somebody up here, invariably I'll go, oh God, heal this precious saint. You know that's wrong. Do you know my job is to tell you that himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, and that by his stripes you are healed. Amen. Just like by his blood you are saved. And so what I do is I say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just ask the Holy Spirit of God to reveal these truths to this precious saint, and that the healing power of God that's already in her spirit, because healing has been made available to her through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we command the healing power of God in her spirit to manifest out of her spirit into her mind, her will, her emotions, and her body, and for total healing to be manifested in the name of Jesus. See, I didn't ask God to heal her because she's already healed. I simply ask her to acknowledge what already belongs to her, because by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. And then you're to turn around and tell everybody, thank God I got healed this morning. No, no, no. See, I just missed it.
Oh, yeah.
I just missed it right there. No, thank God. Here's the proper way. Thank God I was healed 2,000 years ago, and I've manifested that today in Jesus' name. Amen. That's proper. All right. Now, one more volunteer. Thank you, Francis. Now, Frances is coming up, and although she's a born-again child of God, today she's going to role-play for me. Okay. And she's going to come up, and I'm going to ask her a question, and you're going to say no to me. Okay. Do you know Jesus? Have you ever been born again?
No.
Now here's what I got to do now. What I got to do now is get her into the kingdom of God. Okay? So the first thing I got to do is get her to pray the prayer of salvation. Okay? Now, there are other ways to get somebody like this person healed, but that's through the manifestations of the Holy Spirit through the gifts of healing. And those are available to anybody. I believe that. But primarily, she's come up here and announced to me, I don't know the Lord. I need to get saved first. Yes. So we'll do this by radio and internet. Everybody's listening by radio and internet. Say this prayer with me. Say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins according to the scriptures, and that on the third day He was raised from the dead. According to the Scriptures. By faith, I receive my salvation because He died for me. And He rose from the dead for me. I am right now a child of God. Amen. Then I say, did you believe that?
Yes.
So then I got some good news for you. Not only did He die for your sins, but He took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. And so by the stripes of Jesus, you really got something wrong with you?
I'm getting bit by a bunch of bugs and I'm getting sick from my stomach.
All right, so we just renounce. So we just get to announce to this child of God that you are healed, that the healing power of God's in you, and that if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He'll also give life to your mortal body and cease and desist on these bug attacks. In Jesus' name, and we believe we receive when we pray. And everybody said,
amen,
amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So what I wanted to illustrate was you got to divide your audience. You got to know who you're dealing with. And primarily in our ministry, we're dealing with people that know the Lord. And so our job is to remind them you're healed. If somebody comes in that doesn't know the Lord, the first thing we want to do is get them acquainted with Jesus and then introduce the concept that by the stripes of Jesus, you were also healed. Amen. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Because you did it all. What we couldn't do, you did. Amen. You sent your Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh so that we could have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets us free from the law of sin and death. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
All right.